Chapter 2, I want to begin at verse 12. Read verses 12 through 17. And here's what it says. I'm reading from the New International Version. Here's what it says. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened the door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To other, an aroma that brings life. And who's equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. Amen. Here's what I want to talk about my allotted time this morning. He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader. Keep living, and life can frustrate you. Put an amen right there if you can. Get in church and keep living, keep serving. Ministry can frustrate you. Paul in chapter 2, in a real sense, is expressing a response to something that frustrated him. Beanie, here's where the frustration came from. On one hand, God had opened the door, but on the second hand, he had no peace of mind when he went through the door that the Lord had opened. Because you want to make sure that you go through the door, John, that the Lord opens. But when you go through the door that he opens, you're really hoping that you'll have some peace when you go through the door. He says this in the context, because when you read earlier in chapter 2, here's what's been going on. Let me paraphrase it like this. In chapter 2, Paul is responding to the church because there's been a scandal at the Corinthian Missionary Baptist Church. And he had to deal with the scandal lest the church become a major stumbling block in helping to advance the kingdom. The people, after receiving instruction and correction from Paul, repented of their sin. The person who was in the midst of the scandal, they repented. Praise God. They didn't have to leave, they repented. It was embarrassing what they did, but they repented. They asked God to forgive them, and then Paul reminds them, y'all forgive him, because everybody can fall. And you need to forgive him, because next time it might be that needs forgiving. And Paul said, and I tell you what, I've already forgiven him, and Christ hath forgiven him. Forgive him lest he be overwhelmed with guilt and shame, because when you fall privately, it's one thing. But when you fall publicly, it's something else. And a whole lot of folk left the church because they fell and could not muster up enough courage to come back and stand before the people of God, because Satan will always use somebody to look at you sideways. And you'll mess around and start thinking that they're thinking about something that they ain't really thinking about, and you end up being discouraged and you're feeling ashamed, and Satan will make you think that you gotta leave. But you ain't got to leave, because we ain't nothing but a hospital. And all of us are on some kind of medication trying to get better. It's we take a dose of the Holy Ghost every single day trying to get better. But Paul says we got to forgive him. Watch this, Sister Tip. He said, we got to forgive him, because if we don't, Satan can use anything, because we are not unaware of his schemes. We know what he's up to. And watch this. Then right after that, Paul, after talking about, I know how Satan works. I know that Satan's got a whole lot of strategies to try to trip us up. The very next thing Paul said, I went to Troas because God had opened the door for me. To preach up there. But when I got there, I couldn't find no peace. And then he went on to say, and one of the reasons I didn't have any peace, not that the door wasn't open, not that I didn't have the opportunity to preach, but I didn't have no peace because I couldn't find my brother. My brother Titus was not there. Now, I don't know what happened, Bobby. I don't know if Titus went ahead and was waiting there for him. We don't know. But here's what else we know. When he got up there, he texted him, but there was no response. He called him, but there was no response. Walked around and asked people, have you seen him? And nobody has seen him. And for one reason or another, he couldn't find any peace as he went there to minister to the people of God. And when you look at it, it really creates a whole lot of questions, because one, you start questioning, did the Lord really open this door for you? And if he opened the door for you, then what's wrong? Why don't you have peace? Because we often believe that if God opened the door, you ought to have some peace about it. But something down on the inside did not allow him to rest there. And his conclusion. So we don't know if it was something going on the inside of Paul, or we don't know if Titus was AWOL. We don't know what's going on, because sometimes in life, sometimes in ministry, you don't get the dots for every I, and you don't get to cross every T, because there's a point where you don't have all the answers. Put an amen right there, if you can. But thank God for the next verse. Here's what I want to remind you. Hey, Charlie, when you read something and you don't have all the answers, hang on, because God will always have another verse. The next verse, listen to what he says in the next verse. But in spite of all of that, thanks be to God, watch this, who always leads us. I went to Troas, couldn't find my partner. Was up in Troas trying to preach, didn't have no peace, really didn't know what to do. But thanks be to God, he always leads. And then in the next few verses, Paul uses three vivid images to show us how God leads. Three vivid images to show us how God leads. And here's what I need you to figure out. By the time this sermon is over, I need you to help with me to try to figure out, is Paul talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody up in here? Up in here. You're gonna need to answer that by the time we get to the benediction. Who was he really talking about? He says, but thanks be to God, Brother Farmer. We got a great leader. Here's how he leads. Watch these three images. Watch these three images. The first image is the image of a prisoner. It's the image of a prisoner. Look at the text, verse 14. Thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. It's the image of a prisoner. It's the image of a prisoner who has been captured. Let me do it better. I can do it better than that. It's the image of a POW. He says, the Lord leads us as a POW. In Christ's triumphal procession. Here's the picture. Everybody knew that in the culture, Rome was in charge in this particular time. And every time there was a war, the leader, the general of the war, when they won, one of the first things they would do is when they would come back to town, they would have a triumphal procession. The picture is that all of us were deployed, we won, and now we coming back, and people would line up to celebrate the warriors who fought on foreign ground to keep them safe. And when they came back, everybody wanted to celebrate the one who brought victory. Watch the picture. They're celebrating the ones who fought and won on their behalf. And then they're also looking down on the ones who got beat because they're saying, you shouldn't have started no stuff. Don't start no stuff. Don't be no stuff. See? See what happens when you mess with us? You got a beat down. So the picture is Christ. Listen to the image. Paul says, God leads us. We're like captives in Christ's triumphal procession. It's a picture that we're coming into town as captives, which means Paul is saying God, Christ is in front being celebrated. We're the captives coming behind. It's a picture that we lost because Christ is now the King of Kings. He's the winning warrior, and we lost, and we're walking behind him going into town because Christ captured us. We were in a battle between we were in a battle with self and Satan, and we lost. And now we're tied up, handcuffed to Christ. And we're following him like captives into town because we lost. But we also won. Because in Christ, on one hand, you lose your life. But on the other hand, you get a new life. We lost and we won. Because here we are, now here we are in a parade. We on blast in public. It's a public parade because everybody now get to see that we've lost to Christ. Publicly, we in this parade, but we're also, there's a paradox that goes with us marching behind Christ in this parade, because the paradox is this: most folk who are POWs, they walk wounded. POWs walk because they've been neglected. POWs walk because they've been abused. POWs walk with their heads down. But the paradox is, we lost, but we also won. And we handcuffed to Christ, walking into town, but there's a grin. Because when you start walking with Jesus, there's a grin. Won't he put a grin on your face? Have I got a witness here? The paradox is God will put a grin on your face when your back is against the wall, because I may not have money in my pocket, but I'm handcuffed to Jesus. And that'll put a grin on your face every time. It's a picture. Watch this. He uses the image of a prisoner handcuffed to Christ. And if you ain't grinning, it may be a sign you ain't really looked to see what you have in Christ. Because I don't care what you're facing, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave his life for us. It's a picture. The first image, it's the picture of a prisoner. Here's the second image. It's a picture of a prisoner who smells. This prisoner smells. It's in the text. Let me show you. It's right here. It's right here in verse 15. Verse 14. We're led as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and he uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of God. These warriors, these prisoners of war, they stink. They smell. Cordarian, my son-in-law, was deployed last year. Cordarian said, one of the most difficult things about being deployed. Now, on one hand, here's what y'all need to understand. On one hand, deployed means that you're going to another land and they have a base camp. So they're away from home, usually 9 months to a year. Now, that's one piece. But even though they're deployed, occasionally they get deployed. So they're no longer living in the city. They're no longer living in the base camp. There are times where they go out to a specific assignment, and they may be out there for 30, 60, or 90 days. They're living in their vehicles. He said, and one of the struggles is when you're deployed and you're not at base camp, you can't take no shower. That's why when we sent those boxes, one of the things they asked for was those wipes and moist towelettes. And he said the struggle is that when you've been away from water that long, you start to smell. But you ain't really tripping because everybody's smelling because you have been. You're deployed. The picture is Paul says, we, the prisoners, we smell. And listen to the words that he says. Harold Wayne, he says, God has caused us to smell, and we are smelling, we are spreading the aroma of the knowledge of God. Because one of the things that happens when I'm captured, God lets me know something. Have I got a witness? I got knowledge of him. I get knowledge of the sovereign. I get knowledge of the Savior. I get knowledge of his spirit. I get knowledge of his assignment. He gives me knowledge. And now Paul is saying, as a prisoner, God is using us to spread that aroma of the knowledge of God. Watch the text. Everywhere. Because we have this new aroma. Number one, it's an aroma that is the knowledge of God. And then here's the beauty of this thing. He says, and this aroma, watch this text. Look at verse number 15. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. This aroma of Christ is pleasing to God. Huh. God loves to smell us, smell like his son. The truth is, when you've been around somebody who has a real strong aroma, the longer you're around them, it can get on you. Okay. Let me do it like this. I'll do it like this. Come with me to the farm. Come with me. To the farm. At Joshua Training Center, we've got goats. We've got a breeding operation. Sometimes the doe, that's the mama. Sometimes the doe die and the baby live. And sometimes the baby die, but the mama live. And sometimes the baby and the mama live, but the mama don't have no milk. So what do we do when we got an orphan situation, or we got a baby who's got a mama that ain't got no milk? Because it ain't a total loss as long as somebody got some milk. Here's what we do. We know that you just can't take a little kid that's a baby and put him in the pen with a mama, because the mama ain't gonna nurse him, because she only nurses what smells like her. The goats don't identify their kid by sight, because so many of them look just alike. They primarily identify them by how they smell. So here's how we do it. We take the mama who got milk, and Ray holds her head up here, and then somebody puts the baby kid and lets her nurse back there. And the kid nurses. The mama can't see who's nursing, but they let the baby nurse, and then they take the baby away and let the mama go, but she don't know whether she nursed hers or somebody else's. And we do that a few times until the milk that went in the baby comes out of the baby. And once the milk that went in the baby now comes out of the baby, we can take the kid and put her with the mama, because she's gonna sniff his behind. And when she smells what's coming out is what she puts in, she accepts the kid as her own. You missed it. I'm trying to tell you, God puts his spirit in us. He puts the spirit of Christ in us. And that's what he's expecting to come out. And when he smells what he puts in, it's pleasing in his sight. We're an aroma, it's pleasing to God. I got some good news and some bad news. Because now we walking around smelling like Christ supposed to be everywhere we go. McKnight, I got some good news and some bad news for you. Which one you want first? You want the bad news? Okay. We don't have to flip this because McKnight wants the bad news first. The bad news is when you've been smelling up your house, your family with the knowledge of God, if they don't accept it, they're perishing. Because ain't nothing you can do about it, because everybody is going to lead everybody to action. Because once you smell Christ and you choose to reject Christ, you're going to perish. The good news is, for some folk, if you're willing to smell it and yield to it, it brings life. Point being, God's going to get enough people smelling around so that everybody will have an opportunity to choose for themselves. Okay. Here it is. Y'all messing up my whole outline. Don't worry about it. We'll get back to number three in a minute. Here it is. God don't want nobody to go to hell. Matter of fact, God don't send nobody to hell. You know John 3:16, but it's John 3:17 that people don't read enough of. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants everybody to be with him, but everybody got to make their own choice. Jesus didn't come to say, hell, hell, heaven, heaven, hell, heaven, heaven. He died for the world. And whosoever believeth in him will not perish. And so God uses us to stink up the world with the knowledge and the aroma of Christ. Image number one, prisoner. Image number two, a prisoner that smells. Here we go. The third image, Paul says, look at this verse, 17. Unlike so many, we don't peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God and with sincerity as those sent from God. Paul uses the image of a peddler. A peddler. Peddler is an individual that comes to town with one thing in mind: to get rid of a product for a profit. And if you don't pay the price, you don't get the product. When you read 2 Corinthians, you'll discover that one of the criticisms that Paul was facing is that there were some folk who would only present the gospel if it was something in it for them, for money. And Paul said, unlike so many people, because he's really cutting some folk on the side, we ain't doing this for money. So we're not peddlers holding the gospel for a price. We ain't peddlers, we ain't pimps. We ain't pushers, we ain't pushing it. We ain't pimping it. We ain't peddling it. We're doing one thing: presenting it. We're presenters. We present it. Paul says, we present it. Watch this. We present it in a sanctified space. Meaning, and here's got, I got to, ooh, this is a good teaching point. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The sanctified space ain't this area right here. The sanctified space is when we present and lay out the good news of who God is and what he desires. The sanctified space is the fact that you're doing it in the presence of God. It might be on Lodge. And I know you don't call it 2318 Missionary Baptist Church on Lodge. But wherever it is that you present it, you are doing it, and the Father is watching. Matter of fact, the God I serve, he'll sanctify your house. He'll sanctify your yard. Matter of fact, the God I serve, he'll sanctify your car. I'm telling you, I've done at least 50% of my preaching in the cab of my truck. Because wherever you present the truth of the word of God, it becomes a sanctified. Paul said, we present this stuff in the presence of God. Paul said, sincerely. Christ loves us so much that he left the side of his Father to come be with us. Sincere. Christ wants to see you have a relationship with the Father so much that he spent 3.5 years with all kind of people picking at him, taunting him, teasing him, because he was sincere. God loves you so much that he indwells you with the power of the Holy Ghost to give you the strength to take some stuff and to be able to operate sincerely. God wants us to have his heart, that we don't want nobody to have less than God's best. Sincere. We ain't got to be selfish. We ain't got to be greedy. We ain't got to be envious. We don't have to be covetous. We got to learn how to celebrate every blessing that God sends to everybody. Matter of fact, it really, you might want to celebrate even a little higher and harder when God blesses somebody who's close to you, because now at least you know he's in the neighborhood. You know, they still making Lexuses. They ain't sold the last Camry. They making sofas every day. You can get you one. Paul said, I ain't tripping. We present this thing sincerely. Watch this. As one sent from God, because God sends us to present this good thing because the intent is that other folk may be able to find what they need to survive. Three images. First one, prisoner, with a grin on our face. Second one, a prisoner that smells, because we stinking up everywhere we go with the aroma of the knowledge of God. And when Christ who's in us comes out of us, God is pleased by how we smell. And we ain't pimping. We ain't pushing. We simply presenting, because we want people to have what they need and what God desires to give them. I close with this. in this series, Bumblebee gonna help me. The honeybee, bumblebee, it is a proven fact. Don't do it now. When you get done, look it up on YouTube. I would have put it on the picture, but y'all be distracted. It's a proven fact that when they find a fresh bunch of flowers and nectar and pollen, it's a fact that they go back to the hive and they're able to communicate to the rest of the bees where the food is. It's a proven fact. They don't have voices. They don't write it. They do it in a dance. They got a round dance where they go in circles. And the round dance suggests that it ain't real far from the hive. You'll find it. But there's another dance called the waggle dance. The waggle dance, the bee comes into the hive, and the waggle dance is they go in a almost like the shape of a kidney. They dancing and they wiggle in their abdomen and they go in the shape of a kidney. They go one way and then they come back and they circle back the other way. They go around this way and then they go around this way. And all the time, they waggling and wiggling their abdomen. And the length of from one end to the other, they're telling you how far it is, how far away it is. The line points to the direction it is. Stay with me. I know they only got a brain about the size of a grain of salt, but they got enough sense to tell the other bees how to find the food they need to survive. Well, Redmond, how do they do it? Well, it's based on two things, because they know a little something about geometry. First of all, everything is lined up with the sun. Everybody know where the sun is. And the line of that middle line points away from the sun. So in other words, if the sun is here and their dance and the center of their dance is pointing this way, then they know that the pollen is that way. It's in alignment because they're showing you the line. First you line up with the sun and then the angle, so you know where to go in order to get food. I know this is a little complicated. I might show it to you after service. Here we go. I'll do it just like this. I'll finish it just like this. The hive is the home. That's where they live. But you gotta leave the hive, because ain't no food growing in the hive. You gotta go get it, and you gotta bring it back home. Because you ain't gonna produce this in the home. People in the home are gonna get hungry. Your job is to let them know where the food at. And it's up to them to decide whether or not they're going to go get it. Stay in the hive if you want to. But here's the truth. It ain't going to be springtime and summer all year. You got to go get it while the getting's good. And you got to bring back enough so that you'll have it during lean times. I just preached something. I'm trying to tell you, you got to get it while the getting's good, and you bring it back and store it up, but it ain't being produced in the hive. The church ain't the hive. We ain't the hive. We just a place to get some good food so you can take it back and store it up, because somebody gonna be hungry in your house. Somebody gonna have to face some stuff in your house. Somebody gonna have to go through some stuff in your house. And if you go get you some good food, you can make it when the lean times come. Here's what he said. Here's a picture of a prisoner. Here's a picture of a prisoner who smells. And here's a picture of somebody who presents where you can find salvation, where you can find joy. All of that is found in Jesus Christ. All of it. And when you've got your back up against the wall and ministry and life becomes frustrated, don't throw in the towel. Hang on in there, because there's another verse, and you'll discover that the God we serve, he's a mighty good leader, and he has a plan for your circumstance. He's got a plan for your situation. I'd wait on him. I said I'd wait on him. Did I say I'd wait on him? Because he's got a plan for you if you'll just wait on him. Amen.